next tier of reductions that make sense from a system standpoint, be it things like the going into more of the you know the services being capped and the self-determination, I think it's, I can't remember what it's called, I think it's a self-determination a pilot project, and look at what the community thinks makes the most sense in terms of the work they've done to date, and that will be happening on Tuesday.
Okay, and then with regard to this broader question of potential implications of statutory changes necessary, can you think, just broadly speaking, anything else come to mind where we have to be very careful?
Many of the proposals that that we're looking at would require elimination or substantial modifications of statutory entitlements. So, for example, the CalWORKS program is a statutory entitlement. The elimination would undo that. As would the CalGrants program is generally an entitlement. That would be an entitlement that was that we'd be eliminating. So there's a substantial number of reductions in entitlements or service levels that have been established in the law that we'd be looking to change in order to make these reductions feasible.
Thank you.
Senator Duchaney.
One last thought, and I'm assuming that finance will produce trailer bills language reasonably quickly.
Absolutely.
Next week.
We're working towards the trailer bill package for solutions being available by the 28th.
Okay, good. And the actual finance letters on some of these proposals?
Yes, finance letters, schedules, changes, cash, trailer bill, the whole.
By the original revised date of the 28th.
We're looking at providing things on a flow basis, but we'll be transmitting those letters and trailer bill by the 28th.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. At least staff will have something to do that weekend. I just one last comment, just to kind of reiterate, but I don't know how you do this, but in the context of all the discussion of forecasting that we were doing, and you know, we always know forecasts are forecasts; they're just guesses. That's why we have May revises, because we can never figure out in June what we guess our economy will look like next year. And Mr. Taylor's right. Half the time, the only certain thing about them is they will never be correct. And so I guess as we're looking at some of these, and in that vein, I one thing is to think about how we account for the fact, for instance, that we have the Workforce Investment Act money and we're going to have, you know, programs on the street in the summer that have young people working that would not probably otherwise have been employed. And what do we know about what's going on with those programs? Because as we get into some of these, we might want to leverage some of those dollars to do some other things, right? Workforce Investment Act discretionary, so-called discretionary dollars. The other, and it's the bids. You know, we probably need to know how have we done. At some point we'll get to the trans thing. How have we done? I know they've been opening bids, right, with the ERA money. You know, did we get them all out? Have we obligated the money by June, whatever the date is? You know, how we doing? How many projects have we bid at what cost? You know, how many jobs do we expect to be in place? You know, and I presume most of those, if the money's obligated, people should be starting to work on them by June or July or August. I mean, and there's some of the water projects list is already out. We already know, and those were all the so-called shovel-ready projects. There's a lot of that going out there that I'm just not comfortable that we're accounting for, and maybe I'm missing it with the economy still declining in different ways. But I'm hopeful that as those folks go back to work, or if we have some system that we have for tracking what's going on with that, it would be helpful as we kind of guess our way to the forecast. And the other is, as we consider these different models, and I don't these different proposals, we're going to have folks thinking about, in some fashion, what is the impact of that proposal on our ability to reach recovery. I mean, I instinctively agree with your general assessment that we're kind of bottoming out, and by the end of the year we should be able to start to see something improve. What concerns me most gravely is that a lot of these proposals, I think, could delay that recovery for another 6 months to a year. And I don't know how to think about that in the context of, you know, the need to be balanced. But I'm very concerned that we at least think through, is something likely to help us recover, or is it something that's going to delay that recovery longer. I don't kind of know how to think about that, but I just think it's one we got to keep at the top of our brains throughout this process. There's nothing worse than if we can't get back to at least zero on personal income growth by December, you know?
Mr. Blumenfield.
I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to understand the impacts of all these cuts on people in terms of who's really being impacted. And I don't know if there's a way to put a chart. It's obviously, it's a lot easier when you're looking at a particular tax to see income level and who's bearing the brunt of it. But we have a whole range of things here, and I'd be curious in terms of age, in terms of demographics, and in terms of income level to know where the burdens of these, all these proposals are falling. You know, we had heard the chair talk about, she was very concerned, and I share her concern about the disproportionate impact on children. That seems to be very evident in what we're looking at. But I'd like to be able to not only have that sense of it, but to have some quantification of the impact of the proposal. So if you could help in that regard, I'd appreciate it.
All right. I know the legislative analyst has that information by county, at least. That may help, you know, as far as geographically, where these cuts would fall most hard. Other questions, comments by committee members? Department of Finance or legislative analysts have any closing comments you'd like to make? Any closing comments? All right, then we will eagerly await the amendments to the May revision. Mr. Taylor, will you be issuing a revised report in response to what the governor's office comes out with?
Well, certainly, after we see it, if there's a shorter handout or something, we'd be happy to do that.
Okay. We will then adjourn this portion of the conference committee and reconvene on Tuesday at 1:30 just to address the May revision, because we're not completed with that discussion. Tomorrow we will be coming back at 9 a.m. in this room to hear from the controller and the treasurer about the state's cash flow crisis. And I know, Mr. Taylor, you have issued a report a few weeks ago on the cash flow issue, so members may want to take a look at that and refresh your memory. So we will be reconvening again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you very much, everybody.